The date was about 950 BC. The place was my palace in Jerusalem. My name is Solomon. And I want to give you some counsel to my sons and daughters. You can find most of the content of what I am about to teach you this morning in the book of Proverbs, what you call chapters 4 through 9, what I call some good advice. Listen, my children, what I am about to say, pay attention and do not forsake my teachings. For my own father taught me some of this very same stuff. Brilliant man by the name of David. Good man. And he kept telling me that doing what God commands leads to life. And I want to pass that on to you, my children. Whatever you do, get wisdom and guard it when you get it. Don't turn away from it. For what you know, it is true. Because there are so many who, as they get older, they do turn away from it. You see, there are only two paths that you can take. One is the path of wisdom, and the other is the path of the wicked. So be attentive. Avoid choices that lead you down that wicked path. And the only way to do that is to keep your heart with all diligence. For from it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart tender before God, my children, and choose faith, not folly. Keep an eye on things, because it is a slow fade. Now, you will be tempted in this world by the allure of illicit sex everywhere. It may seem to be sweeter than honey, but it will turn out to be more bitter than taking a bite of rotten wood. Set up some boundaries, or you will end up giving your heart away, and then your body will want to go all that way. Wait for marriage, or you will become ensnared and held fast by the cords of your sin. My son, do not lust in your heart after a young woman. My daughter, don't get swept off your feet by empty promises meant to entice you. For can you scoop a fire into your lap and not be burned? Can you walk on hot coals without scorching your feet? Let me tell you what I once saw one time. It was a tragic sight. I saw a young man headed to where he should not have been going. In the dark of the night, a woman, very skimpily dressed, I might say, came out to meet him, and she grabbed him and gave him a kiss and told him to come into her house because she had been looking for him. You see, her refrigerator was full, but her bed was empty. Promising to that man that her husband was away on a long trip. Do you know what he did? Let me quote to you from what I wrote. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into the noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, like little did he know it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your hearts turn to her ways. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Children, you may think you can get away with it, that somehow stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious, but that leads only to danger and even death. Guard your hearts, my sons and daughters. Do not follow the path that I, Solomon, have taken. For it is a path that leads to death. It is a path where God is not pleased with me. Perhaps your Pastor Dave, who is equally as handsome as I, should continue from here on in. Now, I want to say right up front, I have a Solomon. My Solomon is a wonderful boy. I love him dearly. All right, give me a second here. There we go. Thanks. I also want to say that today's sermon is a very tough sermon. A very tough sermon to preach. And while it's difficult in preaching, it was equally as difficult in preparing. One of the reasons it was so difficult to prepare is you try and do research on adultery on the internet. But the biggest challenge is that most people think commandment number 7 is too old-fashioned and too irrelevant for today's world. Well, let me give it to you. Do not commit adultery. Let's be honest, there's an adultery epidemic in our culture. And it's not just in our culture, it's also within our church. Not just our church, but every church. And sadly, there is no difference in the divorce rate between believers and non-believers. Accurate stats regarding adultery are difficult to find because most people don't tell the truth about this part of their lives. So many teens, including Christian kids, throw their faith away just to have physical intimacy. Casual or recreational sex is on the rise, this phrase, friends with benefits. It's far too common. It defines and it describes many relationships today. In fact, there are so many websites for the sole purpose of encouraging infidelity and cheating. Did you know that Olympic officials in the Rio Games last year handed out 450,000 condoms? There were only 11,237 athletes. You can do the math on that. And if the athletes are hooking up with each other, you can double that because they're both getting that many. Some say that they handed out all of these condoms for the sake of preventative against pregnancy and against disease. I take a different stance. I look at it as promoting immorality. The pain and the agony that comes from infidelity has rocked so many homes. And so many of us here today have been affected by it. Parents, family members, friends, any combination of them have let you down. Perhaps it was you who has fallen. Whatever the case, I pray that God will minister His healing to you and restore your hope through His word today. One more fact before we really begin. Did you know that in 1623, Baker and Lucas published a Bible in England that has since been called the Wicked Bible? Because one little word, the word not, was left out in one little verse, this one. So it no longer said, do not commit adultery, it said, do commit adultery. Well, Old English was probably, thou shall commit adultery. But before we go too much further, I've almost forgotten. You guys got your fingers ready? Commandment number one, one God and only one. Commandment number two, do not bow before any idols. Number three, do not use the Lord's name in vain. Number four, take a Sabbath rest. Number five, honor your mother and father. Number six, don't murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight, don't steal. Number nine, do not bear false witness. And number 10, don't covet. No, not this. This. Don't covet. Excellent. I see lots of you. And by the way, parents, teach your kids. I was kind of watching my kids, and I think they got them all right this time. But if you've got kids, teach them to it. Deuteronomy 6 says that these commands are inscribed on our hearts so that we can impress them upon our children. Well, the first principle behind this command is a really basic thing. Last week we established that the principle behind the sixth commandment against murder is this: because people matter to God, they must matter to us. And the standard behind the seventh command is that marital faithfulness is the building block of society. Faithfulness to the covenant of marriage is the foundation of the family. And the New Testament teaches that marriage actually mirrors the relationship Christ has with the church. And so remember this: purity protects marriage. So let's go back to the very beginning and see how God set everything up. In Genesis chapter 2, it says this: the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed it up in the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, to help us remember the essence of marriage, I think of three words: leave, cleave, and weave. Marriage is designed by God to be a permanent bond. God's standard is this: one man with one woman pledged in a public covenant commitment to live together as husband and wife for life. And the Bible is filled with scripture that holds up the value of monogamous marriages and the importance of keeping our vows. Here's just one verse from the New Testament in Hebrews 13. "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all of the sexually immoral." Bishop Latimer, way back in his day, it was custom on New Year's Day to give a gift to the king. Well, after several years of giving gifts, King Latimer decided that he didn't like giving gold to the king. King Henry VIII had enough. So he gave him a copy of the New Testament with this passage earmarked: "Marriage is to be honored by all, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. I don't know, 8 wives was probably enough. The keeping of the 7th command guards the integrity of every marriage. See, God has the right to decide and to define the parameters of our sexual activity. Let's look at how this command, or what, not how, but what this command actually prohibits. The first one is very simple, adultery. Now, technically, adultery is a sexual relationship between a married individual with someone other than their spouse. Okay? And the word adulterate means to make impure by adding extraneous, improper, or inferior ingredients. And I think of those two words, add and alter. When you add something or someone else into your marriage, you alter it in a very negative way and make it inferior. The heart of this command applies to so many other sins as well. Fornication. Fornication is any sexual expression outside the bonds of a marital relationship, including premarital sex. Now, from the Bible, we see that all sex outside of the bonds of marriage is disloyalty to God and to your partner. Whether you're married or not, it's your partner, your future partner. So let's not get involved in it. Let's go see what Jesus says about this command. He applies the 7th command to not commit adultery in ways that actually should make each and every one of us squirm. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 says, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Adultery is the fruit of which lust is the root. You see, you may remain outwardly faithful to your spouse, but while inwardly lusting after someone else. And lust is a battle fought first and foremost in your mind. One may be lustfully occupied while listening to a sermon. You can have lust in your mind while you drive your car. Believe it or not, you can have lust in your mind while you pray to God. Because it's of its unseen character, it's never safe to say of another person, well, that person could never have that problem. Because in the theater of the mind, many things take place that would never be mentioned in public. So we've got adultery, we've got fornication, we've got lust, but there's something else that it prohibits, and that's pornography. Now, I don't or won't go through all the stats, but I do want to say that 25% of all websites and all web searches, all web searches are for pornography. The revenues of the porn industry are estimated to be $97 billion worldwide, which is enough to feed 4.3 billion people for 1 year. If we could take the profits of pornography and apply it to hunger, we could feed all the hungry people of the world. For sports fans, let me put it into this. It's bigger than the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, all combined. Almost twice as big. And all of this ties in with this thing that is now called the LGBT movement. Folks, the practice of homosexuality is sin. There's no way around it. If you are someone who believes in the scriptures, there's There's so much to be said on this topic that we just don't have time to talk about today. But I will state that in this area, we must swim against the cultural current. If you want to come out in favor of God's design for marriage. And just because you are pro-family or pro-marriage does not make you anti-gay. As Christians, we must not beat around the bush. The Bible is clear in its definition of marriage. But we must not only define it the same way, but also defend it. With all of this said, it is also a truth that homosexuals matter to God, that they must matter to us as well. God loves them. He created them. They are created in His image, and therefore they must matter to us. But we are mandated to communicate what the Bible says about marriage and sexuality. So let's take the prohibition seriously, and let's make sure that we're also following God's prescriptions. Folks, if you're not serious about pursuing purity, you won't be pure. If you don't put up boundaries, chances are good that you will break your vows. Unless we are radical in our approach and vigilant in our commitment, we will become one of the sexual sin statistics. Well, Jesus went on and kept talking in Matthew chapter 5 with some very powerful words to shake us out of our unguarded approach to purity. He went on and said these words, "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Those are some very powerful words. I ask you not to take them literally. Sin is serious that we must take any measure required. And Jesus uses this extreme measure, this hyperbole, to make this point. Our eyes are the gateway to visual images that can lead to immorality. And let me say, once you've seen something, you cannot unsee it. That picture is engraved upon your mind for the remainder of your life. Our hands do the touching that can lead to the breaking of this command. Casting Crowns wrote a song entitled "Slow Fade." It says, "It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray, and thoughts invade, and choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. For people never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade." And by the way, all of this applies to singles as well. Be faithful to your spouse before and after you marry. I've said it before, but it needs to be repeated. Sin will take you further than you were ever planning to go and keep you there longer than you were ever planning on staying. So here are 5 prescriptions. Guard what you put into your mind and your heart. And we live in an over-sexualized society that seems obsessed with the topic. Folks spend more time in the 66 books of the Bible and forget about the 50-plus shades of whatever happens to be pawned off as a bestseller. Did you know that Forbes has recently reported that hotels in Europe have made the bold decision to remove the Bible from hotel rooms and are replacing it with this 50 shades of whatever? Their claim is that anybody who actually reads the Bible tends to bring one anyways. Guard what you put into your mind and heart. The second prescription is this: avoid spiritual mismatches. I see Christians compromise their values and morals when they settle for dating or marrying someone who is not a Christ follower. Flirt to convert rarely works, because it's far easier to compromise than to take a moral step up and stand firm. In order to do this, refrain from provocative behavior. And this includes flirting, how you dress, inappropriately touching. Are you familiar with Job 31, verse 1? I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Now, obviously, he used the feminine there because he is masculine, but it goes both ways. I urge you, each and every one, make this commitment today, not to look lustfully upon anyone. The third prescription is be careful about emotional affairs. If you feel that your feelings are starting to transfer to someone other than your spouse, stop spending time with that person immediately. And just as quickly, tell your spouse. Do not pretend it didn't happen. Tell them. Martin Luther said, I cannot keep a bird from flying over my head, but I can certainly keep it from nesting in my hair and from biting off my nose. To help with that, try to imagine what would happen when you have to sit down and have a conversation with your spouse about your sexual sin. Think about how your daughter will look at you, but what your son will have just seen as you modeling. You see, Satan never shows you the consequences or the humiliation that comes with it. He only shows you the thrill and the excitement. Yeah, it's awesome to go on a roller coaster ride. It's great, it's thrilling, it's fun, but when you get off and start puking because you ate something before you went on, they never show you that, do they? No. Prescription number four. Avoid temptation by running from sexual immorality. Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife. David ran towards Bathsheba. And not long ago, we learned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So avoid the temptation by running away, not to it. And finally, we need to ask God for forgiveness. Some of you may be experiencing a slow fade right now. It may not be in this area, but it could be in any other area. You're not burning as brightly for the Lord as you once did. You're starting to compromise. It's time to come clean. And thankfully, we don't have to beg God for forgiveness, because God actually wants to forgive us more than we want to be forgiven. We don't have to bargain with Him. We don't have to bribe Him by promising to do a whole bunch of things that we're actually never going to do. We don't have to do penance. It's not so much what Jesus wants from you, such as rule keeping, but what He wants for you. Guard your hearts, my sons and daughters. Guard your hearts. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You for all that You have done. We thank You for Your word. We can learn from it, for it is filled with all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge that we need. It is filled with the complete story of salvation. And Lord Jesus, I am thankful that You went to the cross, that You died on that cross. You paid the penalty for my sins, for every sin. And Father, I'm thankful that You are willing to forgive us and want to forgive us. And so I ask for forgiveness this morning. I know that I have fallen short. And I thank You for forgiving me. I pray that You would be each and every one of us our vision. That we would see the world as You see. That we would see each person that You have created as an image bearer of You. And that they matter to You. And Father, that Your vision would help us to make that covenant with our eyes, not to look lustfully upon anyone. Father, I pray for every family and every marriage. I pray that You would help keep that marriage bed pure. Father, I pray for every single in our congregation, those who are not married, that You would help them, as our world is so filled with images and things that want to draw us away from purity. I pray that You would help these individuals to remain pure. And Father, that if they do stumble, that they do not hide it, but they come and they speak and they share and they seek help. That help would come from You, Father, for You are such an amazing God. Father, I pray all these things in Your precious and mighty name. Amen.